Welcome to the Shiur in Targumim Parshas Truma. The Shiur this evening is sponsored by Ira Miller, marking the yard site today of his father-in-law, David Besterglick, David Yisrael, and Chaim Halevi. Shalom Shadav and Aliyah, Shasim Moshnach, Hasurach, and the Torah Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim that the family is involved in. So the name of the Parsha is Truma, and I guess we should figure out what Truma means if we're going to learn Parshas Truma. Right? So the Pasuk says in the very beginning of Parshas Truma, Dabro b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu li Truma. Speak to Klal Yisrael, they should take for me a Truma. And that term is repeated. Me'ez kol ish asher yidveru libo tikhu es Trumasi. You should take my Truma. And then the Pasuk Gimel, v'zos ha Truma asher tikhu me'itam. This is the Truma that you should take from them. So what does Truma mean? So the Targum Onkelos writes, in all three cases, uses a language in Aramaic that speaks to the idea of hafrasha, of setting something aside. Malelim b'nei Yisrael speak to Klal Yisrael, v'yafrashun kodama yafrashusa, v'yikhu li Truma, even translates the word v'yikhu, they should take from me, also to separate aside, that they should take from what they have and separate something which is going to be designated for the purposes of the Mishkan. You know, sometimes, in a colloquial sense, the way the term Truma is used in modern Hebrew, Truma has the connotation of being just a donation which you make. So while that's true, clearly Truma over here means a donation as well, there's an added element to it, that something is set aside from one's regular assets and takes on a little bit of a separate status because it's set aside. When we talk in a halachic sense about trumos or maisros, right, so we know that truma is the portion which is given, set aside and given to the kohen, and the truma has a special status. In other words, once the truma is designated as truma, even before it's given to the kohen, if a non-kohen were to eat the truma, so that's punishable with a heavenly punishment. In other words, it has the status of truma even before it's donated. So whereas the English term donation carries the connotation that it's something that you're actually giving or have given to the recipient, truma just means that it's set aside. V'yikhuli truma v'yafrishun kodamai afrishusa. Let them separate a portion of their assets for the purposes of building the Mishkan. This translation of the Targum Onkelos is picked up by Rashi. Rashi writes, Truma Hafrosha, again, exactly the same word that's used by the Targum Onkelos, Yafrishuli Mimamonam Nedava. Klal Yisrael should separate, should set aside, should designate a portion of their assets as a Nedava, as a donation to building the Mishkan. So the Pasuk goes on to say, May ace kol ish asher yidvenu libo tikhu es trumasi. From every person whose heart moves him, you should take my truma. What does it mean, may ace kol ish yidvenu libo? So the Targum Onkelos writes, min kol devar di yisra'e libe. From every person who finds favor in his heart, this truma should be given. What exactly is the intention of that? That from every person who finds favor in his heart to give, the truma, the hafrasha, that which is set aside should be set aside. So the Yonasan ben Uziel elaborates on this just a little bit. He adds two words which are very important over here. The Yonasan ben Uziel says, min kol di yisra'e libe, uses that same terminology that's used by the Targum Onkelos, that from every person whose heart agrees to give the truma, v'loba alo musa. That's the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel adds, not by force, not by coercion, right? We find in other areas of halacha that we do force people to make donations. We definitely do it in shul. We have locked the door, by the way. I hope nobody's planning on leaving tonight. No, but in the context of tzedakah, we find a concept that kofin alat tzedakah, that sometimes under certain circumstances, the city can force people to give tzedakah. we find even with karbanos, right? If a person is obligated to bring a karban, so we have that the halacha lays down that the karban can only be brought voluntarily, but yet we force the person to bring the karban. What do you mean? How can it be voluntary and under coercion? So the Chazal tell us famously, "Kofin oso ad shiyoma rotsa ani." We beat him up until he says, "Okay, yes, yes, voluntarily, I want to bring the karban." Are you sure? Yes, yes, absolutely, voluntarily, I want to bring the karban. So it's voluntary, but it's a kind of volunteerism that comes with a healthy dose of coercion. Right? What's that?
Oh,
voluntold. Right. So here the Yonos of Anuziel is stressing that that's not the case when it comes to the nedavos, to the donations that are made to the Mishkan. Here they're really voluntary in the full sense of the term. V'lo ba'alo musa. You know, they're not going to be at all. Let everyone, asher yidvenu libo, who's moved by his heart, whose heart agrees, the Yisraelibe, anyone whose heart agrees to it, no outside coercion, no outside pressure whatsoever, they should, you know, donate to the Mishkan. We'll see an interesting thing over here in Rashi. You know, as we know, Rashi was French, and he very often brings words in Old French to illustrate his commentaries. So for most of us, that's not particularly helpful for two reasons. First of all, most of us, I imagine, don't speak French. Secondly, even those of us who might speak French probably don't speak Old French. Right? In other words, you know, the French of the time of Rashi is about 1,000+ years old. In other words, it's not exactly the same, maybe even substantially different from the French of today. But here, for a moment, we can all be Frenchmen. Because if you look in Rashi over here, on Yidvenu Libo, so Rashi, again, following the lead of the Targum, writes that Yidvenu Libo means Lashon Nedava. It carries with it the connotation of something that you're giving voluntarily. V'hu Lashon Ratzon Tov. This refers to something that comes from your own goodwill, something of goodwill, not because of coercion. And then he writes a French word, Pei Resh Yud Sin Nun Tes. Pei Resh Yud Sin Nun Tes. Present. Present. Right? So, not present in the sense of accounted for, right? But present in the sense of a present that a person is giving. In other words, Rashi is employing, apparently that's the word in Old French as well, the word present to describe what nedava translates as in the Hebrew. And again, what is a present? A present is something that you give of your own free will. You're not coerced into it in any way. It's something that you just voluntarily decide that you're going to give. If you don't give the present, you know, nobody's going to come after you. So that's the term which Rashi uses in order to describe these donations that are being made to the Mishkan. They are presents. They are, you know, they're not being forced. They're not being coerced. You know, there's no, you know, recommended donation or anything like that. It's literally presents that come from people's hearts. So what are the objects that are going to be donated? So the Torah begins listing off a whole bunch of different items. And then in Pasuk Hey, we read that one of the desired items is Oros Tichoshim. Oros is skins. What are Tichoshim? So Rashi over here writes as follows. Min Chaya. It's a type of a wild animal, a Tachash. V'lo Haisa Elo L'sha'a. And this Tachash, it's not an animal that you're going to find today. It was an animal that only existed at that time that the Mishkan was being assembled. Vahar Bonim Hayula. This Tachash was a multicolored animal. It had many, many different shades or colors. Lachach Mitargem Sasgona. Therefore, says Rashi, the Aramaic translation of Tachash is Sasgona. What's Sasgona? So Rashi explains, Shesos umispoer bagavonim shelo, that the Tachash rejoices and takes pride. In other words, the word sos means to be happy, like the word sason. Sasgona it takes pride, it rejoices in gona, in its colors. The word gona is colors from the following derivation. Gavonim means shades of something. Even in modern day Hebrew, that's how you say a shade. You know, a color is a gavan. So sas gona, or sas gavna, if you'd want to pronounce it that way, means that this animal is a multicolored animal, and since its colors are a source of pride, it rejoices, it shows off, so to speak, its multicolors. And that's the tachash which is being referred over here. It's a rainbow creature that does not exist today, but was available, was made available by the Ribbono Shel Olam at the time that the Mishkan was being assembled. And that's the tachash, those are the tachashim, which are being referenced in the Chumash. Yeah?
Isn't Truma and Maisa the only ones that gives a percentage of their income?
So this Truma is not Truma in general. When you're talking about Truma and Maisa, you're talking about a fixed percentage of the produce which has to be given to a Kohen to a Levi. Here we're using the word Truma, but the word Truma here is being used in a different sense. The Truma that's being given to the Mishkan is voluntary donations of items which are being used on a one-time basis to build the Mishkan. The only sense in which the term Truma carries over from Truma that you give to a Kohen is, as Rashi said before, and the Targum said before, Truma means hafrasha, something which is set aside. So it doesn't carry, the term Truma itself doesn't carry the implication of a specific percentage or specific amount. It just means something that once I designate it as being, you know, meant for a certain purpose, it takes on Kedusha, it takes on holiness even before I've given it, you know, to that purpose. Even before I give it to the Kohen, even before I give it to the Mishkan, you know, the fact that I've set it aside and designated it as such already gives it a certain status. That's the Truma that we're talking about over here. So just to Chashim, Oros to Chashim, Rashi says, means the skins of this unusual creature that has a multicolored skin. And the source for the idea that the Tachash, this animal, has, you know, multiple colors on its skin is none other than the Targum. And indeed, if we look in the Targum Unculus, it translates the words Oros Tichoshim as Mashche Sasgona, skins of Sasgona. Again, that's the word that Rashi uses. You know, the animal which rejoices over its colors. And the Yonos Ben Uziel also, Umushche de Sasgona, uses basically the same two words to translate Oros Tichoshim. In fact, this translation that Tichoshim means is translated as Sasgona, that which rejoices in its colors, is not, you know, is not only to be found in the Targum Unculus and the Targum Yonos Ben Uziel, but it's actually referenced in the Gemara itself. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chav Ches and Bamei Madlikin is talking about this thing called the Tachash. And Omar Rav Yosef, the Gemara there quotes the Amora Rav Yosef, Hainu de Metargaminon, this, you know, this itself, you know, the notion that the Tachash had multiple colors reflects itself in our Targum, you know, Mashche de Sasgona. The fact that we translate the word Tachash as Sasgona reflects the idea that this Tachash had many, many different colors. So here you have an interesting phenomenon where the translation, both of Unculus and the Yonos Ben Uziel, is in the Gemara itself. The Gemara already says that the way we translate the word Tachashim is as Sasgona. Questions on this translation. So, we understand that the point of the word Sasgona is to indicate something with many colors. Right, that's the second word which makes up Sasgona, the gona, the gavna part of it, you know, the shades, the hues. Okay, so that's, you know, that's all about the colors. But then the first two letters, sas, you know, that it rejoices, like the word sasam, you know, is cute and poetic and all of that, that the animal rejoices and enjoys the fact that it has multiple colors, but it really seems sort of extra or unnecessary in describing this animal. In other words, The point is that the animal has skin with multiple colors on it. Whether the animal wakes up every morning, looks in the mirror, and says, ha ha, lucky me, I've got a lot of colors on my skin, is really besides the point, right? And yet the translation of saskona emphasizes the fact that it's sus, you know, sasum ispire begavanim shalo, that the animal rejoices with its colors. What do I, you know, okay, if its colors, fine, you know, so when it goes to therapy every week, it can talk about how happy it is that it has all these colors. Okay, good. That's besides the point. What's that got to do with anything? The point is, it's multicolored. Right? What do I care that it's happy? You know, why is that such an important part of the description of the Tachash that it's included in the Shin itself? Then, just to add another question to this, and this may or may not be significant, the Hebrew words oros techashim are both in the plural. Oros, the skins of, techashim, right, is the plural. The singular is tachash, right, and the plural is techashim. Good. So in the original Hebrew, both the noun and that, the possessive, you know, the skins of techashim, everything's in the plural. In the Aramaic translations, both Unculus and the Targum Yonus and Menuzio, the word for skins is in the plural, mashche, right, that means skins. Sasgona is in the singular. Right, so literally, the translation is not the skins of techashim, but the skins of tachash. Right? It's the plural skins, but only one tachash, which is referenced if you take the literal translation of the Onkelos. So again, your reaction to that might be, okay, what's that?
How many skins did they have?
Well, it's maybe they had multiple skins of one tachash, right? But it's a curious translation because it's not actually a literal translation of the Hebrew, and it seems to be a non-literal translation for no good reason. Meaning, if in the Hebrew both Oros and Techashim are in the plural, on the surface, there doesn't seem to be any obvious reason why you wouldn't put them both in the plural when you translate it into Aramaic. Yeah.
But if I'm listing out items that I want a pen, a pencil, an eraser,
right,
which I'm not sure what he's doing.
Right.
But then he does this, and he says, I want skins of a tachash.
Right.
Why is that a tachash has more than one skin?
Well, that would all be great if the pasuk said skins of a tachash.
Right.
But it does. It says skins of techashim.
Which would imply many techashim.
Right. So again, whatever it says in the Hebrew, the Aramaic deviates from the Hebrew. In other words, the Hebrew is skins of techashim. The Aramaic is literally skins of tachash, which is just curious. Whatever the intent is, it's clearly not a literal translation of the Hebrew. There's a little bit of a change. So you'll say, maybe that change is insignificant. Don't get hung up on the exact grammar, you know? But it's striking that the Targum Unculus is not an exact translation of the Hebrew in this particular case. One more question, which may or may not be significant. There are slightly different versions of the Targum Unculus. One version of the Targum Unculus is Umashche Saskona, literally skins tachash, and another version that's printed in the Chumashim is Mashche Disaskona, with the prefix Dalid, which usually is translated as of. So in other words, one version of the Targum Unculus is literally skins tachash, and then a second version of it is skins of tachash, with the possessive, with the Dalid. Is there significance to the inclusion or the exclusion of the Dalid? I mean, on the surface, you would say no. In other words, when you put in the Dalid, it just makes it more clear that we're talking about a possessive over here, skins of the Tachash, whereas if I leave it out, okay, it's not as explicit, but that's still what it's talking about, skins Tachash, right? You know, what else would, you know, what else does it mean other than skins of the Tachash? But again, is there significance to the fact that the Dalid is in or the Dalid is not in? So, to put all these things together, you know, these points that may seem at the surface to be insignificant, but perhaps point in a certain direction, We should point out, this again is from the Ozvahadar commentary on the Targum Unculus, that in the Sefer HaAruch, there's a slightly different version of the word Saskona. Right? So again, just to remind us, the Sefer HaAruch was written by Rav Nosson of Rome, one of the very early Rishonim. The Sefer HaAruch essentially is something somewhere between a dictionary and encyclopedia, which defines various words which we have in the Gemara, but again, it's not a dictionary in the conventional sense of the term, where it just gives definitions. He was a Rishon. So in other words, when he defined certain words in the Gemara or in the Chumash or the like, he would provide a lot of explanation. You know, it's a little bit more like an encyclopedia than a dictionary. So the Aruch has the Girsa Sasgona, and he explains that it means Shesos Bigavonim Harbe. That sounds like Rashi. But Rashi says Sas Bigavonim Harbe. Sas is spelled sin, whereas the Aruch writes that Sasgona means Shesos Bigavonim Harbe, Samich Samich. What's Samich Samich? So the word Samich Samich in Aramaic can be translated as is colored with. So in other words, we're not describing something which rejoices with its many colors, but rather the word Saskona means is colored with many colors. Mitsuyur Begavonim Harbe. It's colored with many colors. So based on this, the Oz Vahadar writes, and he says if you look in the interpretations of Rav Sadya Gaon and the interpretations of Rav Avraham ben Arambam, who both provided Arabic translations of the Chumash, he writes, it could very well be that even the Targum is translating Sasgona not as a description of a certain type of animal, but just an adjective describing a certain type of skin. And perhaps, according to this, what the Targum Unculus is writing is Mashche Sasgona, skins which are colored in different colors. Meaning, there's no animal called a tachash. Tachashim is not a noun which describes a certain type of animal. It's an adjective. Tachashim means multicolored. So va'oros tachashim, according to this interpretation, would mean multicolored skins, right? And is not necessarily a reference to an animal at all. Again, Rashi's clearly not writing like that. The Gemara doesn't seem to be saying that. But there does seem to be this tradition of translation, the Aruch, Rav Sadya Gaon, Rav Avraham ben Arambam, and maybe the Targum Unculus as well, that understands Sasgona as multicolored, but not that we're talking about a particular kind of animal which is multicolored called a tachash. Rather, go look for skins that have multiple colors on them. Again, skins of various different animals have different hues and different shades. You know, there are many animals out there that are not a single color, that have multicolors. So find those animals, and those are the animals whose skins you're going to use for the Mishkan. Just to put one or two words, just to complete this, according to this translation, it might help us understand two of the oddities about the Targum Unculus, which we pointed out, and on the surface we said, okay, that's not that significant, but maybe when you look at it at second glance, it is significant. Why does the Targum Unculus translate Oros Tachashim, plural, like skins of Tachashim, as skins of Tachash? So if we're talking about an animal called a Tachash, it's very hard to understand why the Targum Unculus would change the translation. But if we're talking, the word tachashim is really just an adjective as opposed to being a type of creature, a type of being, so then we know in Hebrew when you use a noun in the plural, the adjective that accompanies that noun also becomes plural, right? Yelad tov, good boy. Yelodim tovim, you know, good boys, right? By the way, in English, we don't do that. Right? In English, it's a good boy. We don't say goods boys. I mean, maybe we do, depending on how good our English is, right? But you shouldn't say goods boys, right? You say good boys, right? The adjective remains singular, even though the noun becomes plural. So Meik, arguably the same idea is true, meaning, you know, if we're talking about colored skins, so the word skins becomes plural, mashche, but the adjective colored, sasgona, remains in the singular. And that would explain why the Targum Onkelos translates it mashche sasgona, singular, as opposed to mashche sasgone, which would be the plural. Maybe he's not talking about an animal, he's talking about an adjective, multicolored skins. That would also explain, perhaps, why in many versions of the Targum Onkelos, the Dalid is not present before the word sasgona. In other words, if it's mashche disasgona, that's clearly skins of the thing called the sasgona. If it's mashche sasgona, so then arguably it's just an adjective modifying a noun, meaning multicolored skins, right? It's not possessive, it's just an adjective. So one could argue that, although again, clearly everybody translates the word tachash as multicolored, are we talking about an animal, as Rashi says, again, based on the Gemara, or are we talking adjective? One could argue that the Targumim, you know, might be reflecting the tradition that sasgona is just used here as an adjective and not necessarily describing a certain type of a creature.
So then, really the question is now, I have some Gemara and Rashi, but not Rashi, because right. It's quite a Gemara. The Gemara, right. Why would the Gemara choose a path that is just so much more...
less intuitive.
I would say unbelievable, because right. you're setting yourself up for an animal that only existed at that time.
Right.
Where this particular interpretation would seem to apply itself to, right. Hey, you know, there were animals out there, many animals out there with different colors.
Right. So I think Alpi Hashkafa, you know, the Gemara is coming from the following perspective. The Mishkan is not just another building project. The Mishkan is something that transcends everything about nature. It stands to reason that there should be special miraculous elements in the Mishkan. And if one of those elements is this unusual creature that only exists then, at that time, that just underscores how special and unique the Mishkan actually is. Okay. Right? So that's perhaps where the Gemara and Rashi are coming from in terms of that understanding. Okay, Rabbi Hanan ben Akasha, Omer Rav, Sahakodesh Baruch, Ulizakos, Sassi.